Father, bless your word this morning as we look into it together, Father, close out the series. We just pray, Father, that you would truly motivate us to be on mission in these difficult and dangerous days. We give you all the praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we've come to the end of our series, Deception in the Last Days, and we took a casual stroll through the tribulation period last time, and this time we're going to go back to where we started at the very beginning, and that is with technology. I want to take a look at the technology that we've seen develop right before our very eyes and how I believe the Antichrist is going to be able to use that technology to fulfill prophecies that are 2,000 years old, and exactly how the scenario that we're living in today perfectly rhymes with what the Bible says the end times would look like. Now, I don't want to scare you. These are scary things. I get it. They are scary things. But I do want to encourage you to maybe think about getting some robot insurance.
And Diane's husband passed away. The insurance company said his policy didn't cover them.
They had no money to pay for the funeral. It's so hard nowadays with all the gangs and rap music.
What about robots?
Oh, they're everywhere.
I don't even know why the scientists make them.
Darren and I have a policy with Old Glory Insurance that covers us in case we're attacked by robots.
An insurance policy with a robot plan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly I'm too old.
Old Glory covers anyone over the age of 50 against robot attack, regardless of current health.
I'm Sam Waterston of the popular TV series Law & Order. As a senior citizen, you're probably aware of the threat robots pose. Robots are everywhere, and they eat old people's medicine for fuel. Well, now there's a company that offers coverage against the unfortunate event of a robot attack, Old Glory Insurance. Old Glory will cover you with no health checkup or age consideration. You need to feel safe. And that's harder and harder to do nowadays because robots may strike at any time. And when they grab you with those metal claws, you can't break free because they're made of metal and robots are strong. Now, for only $4 a month, you can achieve peace of mind in a world full of crime and robots with Old Glory Insurance.
Robots! They're coming! Robots!
Oh, it's a friendly robot. This time.
So don't cower under your Afghan any longer. Make a choice. Old Glory Insurance. For when the metal ones decide to come for you. And they will.
So don't cower under your Afghans anymore. Get some insurance. All right, all kidding aside, just as the writers of Scripture predicted, deception is all around us today. And so I want to go through this last scene. I have edited this down as much as I possibly could without losing the sense of what I want to communicate. So I'm going to move through this as quickly as I can. But we're going to show you some things today that I think are pretty eye-opening. And they're going to show you how people, geniuses, both Christian and otherwise, are coming to the same conclusion about where we stand with respect to AI and the prophecies of the last days. So first of all, the book of Revelation describes Satan in a number of interesting ways. Most interestingly, he's called a great red dragon who swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth with his tail. Now, right now, at this point in history, Satan has access to heaven and earth as he wills. You might remember Job chapter 1 and verse 2. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it." So Satan has access to the earth at this time. But during the tribulation period, the word of God is clear that he will be confined to the earth. You read about that in Revelation chapter 12. I certainly can't read it for you this morning, but it's an amazing passage. He is going to be restricted from his access that he has now to being confined directly to the earth. The devil is going to be cast down. He has great wrath. He is among you. He knows that he has but a short time. So you can take a look at that in Revelation chapter 12. Now, John's description of Satan's confinement to the earth is immediately followed by a vision that he has of two more beasts that are going to rise up. One is from the sea and one is from the land. The first beast that John describes is we call the Antichrist. He is called the beast who is rising out of the sea. What I want you to see here is that these three, the great red dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, these three personages, make up a pseudo-trinity during the tribulation period. The great red dragon is the false or pseudo-father. The Antichrist, is the pseudo-son, the pseudo-Christ, the false Christ. And the false prophet is the pseudo-Holy Spirit. Just like the Holy Spirit leads people today to worship the Son of God, in the tribulation period, the false prophet will lead people in the worship of the Antichrist. So this whole thing is a counterfeit. So the first beast that comes up is the Antichrist. Now, we've already seen him as a political leader, but now we meet him as a beast. To this beast, the dragon gave his power and his throne and his great authority. So what he does, the power that he has, the things that he does, are all being motivated by power given to him directly by the devil who's now been confined to the earth. And understand the chronology. In chapter 12 of Revelation, the devil is cast down. In chapter 13, these two beasts arise. So the Antichrist, we've said before, will be assassinated midway through the tribulation period, and he will rise again from the dead in a mocking imitation of Jesus. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead, this Antichrist will be raised from the dead. And the result will be that the whole world will marvel and follow the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, this is the counterfeit father, for he had given authority to the beast, the counterfeit son. And they worshiped the beast, saying, this is the whole world except for those who have become saved. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who can fight against it? And in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5, it says that this beast will be allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. 42 months, if you do the math, is exactly 3.5 years. This is the last part of the tribulation period, what we know as the Great Tribulation. Now, I want you to notice that word allowed. It may seem as though the devil is in control of what's happening on the earth during this time, or even the Antichrist or the false prophet, but God is still in control of everything. The Antichrist is being allowed to do things. God is allowing and disallowing things. And we see this word allowed a lot in these passages. This is something that God is allowing in order to fulfill his perfect plan for the human race and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of this period. The beast is also allowed to make war with the saints. Notice it. He's allowed. He'd never be able to touch the saints unless it were permitted by God. But the saints die and go immediately into the presence of God. So it's not a bad deal. The beast is allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. Authority has been given to it. Notice the language. He's been given this authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name is not found, written before the foundation of the earth in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. So anybody whose name was not found in the Lamb's book of life is going to worship this Antichrist at this time. He's going to be the Savior. He's going to be the one who's going to deliver them. Now, this is the first beast, the Antichrist. The second beast in Revelation 13 that John describes is what the personage that we know of as the pseudo-spirit or the false prophet. And he's seen rising up out of the earth. By the way, out of the sea, out of the earth. If you want to know what those things mean, all of the Revelation messages are online, and we spend entire sermons just on what these phrases mean. We can't do it this morning, but this is the idea is there are these two beasts that rise up, and they are going to exercise incredible authority upon the earth. So the second one is the false prophet, and he rises up out of the earth. He's the pseudo-spirit, and his job is going to be to lead, just as the Holy Spirit does with us today, his job is going to be to lead the world in the worship of the first beast, the one who received the mortal head wound and rose again from death. John tells us that the second beast in Revelation 13 and verse 12 exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and the inhabitants, its inhabitants, worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. Now it has miraculous powers. The scripture goes on to tell us that it performs signs, even making fire come down from heaven to the earth in front of people, and that by the signs that it is allowed to work, notice the language again, God is allowing him to do this, by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives. Where this series is called Deception in the Last Days. The time of the earth's greatest deception will be this tribulation period. He deceives those who dwell upon the earth. The entire earth, except for the saved, will be deceived during this time. So just as the Holy Spirit leads true believers in worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, this false prophet, the pseudo-spirit, will lead the world in the worship of the Antichrist, the false or pseudo-son. Now, this is quite a scenario. This is quite a picture that the scripture paints for us. But of special interest to us this morning is what it says this Antichrist is going to be able to do with the help of this false prophet. In verse 16 of Revelation 13, it says that he causes all, say all, he causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, every kind of distinction is gone. All is all. Socioeconomic distinctions disappear. Sexual distinctions disappear. Every single human being on the planet is going to be compelled to receive a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. Now, this will be a mark of allegiance to the Antichrist. For anybody to actually receive this mark would mean they have forfeited any possibility of salvation. Nobody with the mark of the beast will enter into the millennial kingdom. This is, they're dooming themselves. What they're doing in essence is saying, I am choosing the world's Christ. And this is the language of Revelation 12. The Bible says, woe to you, the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down upon you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. But to the believers, it says, hallelujah, because now the kingdom of God and his Christ have come. Jesus is God's Christ. The Antichrist is the world's Christ. Receiving the mark of the beast in the tribulation period will mean tying your allegiance to the false Messiah. And it will doom everyone who does so. So those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life will not receive the mark of the beast. And that means that they're going to have a very difficult time. Most of them are going to have to die for their faith. These are the martyrs. We see the martyrs crying out in the book of Revelation for justice. And God says this happens early on. And God comes back and says, be patient. Be patient. And that justice comes in the trumpet judgments that we saw last time. So it's going to be a terrible time upon the earth. But what we do need to understand is that refusing this mark is going to have very serious consequences. And it goes on to say, no one will be able, this is verse 17, Revelation 13, 17, nobody will be able to buy or sell unless he has the mark. Now this is profound. This is something that 25 years ago was unimaginable, how the mechanism of this could work. The idea that there would be somebody who would have the authority to literally freeze the assets of individual citizens just like that was unthinkable until our very lifetime. And those of us who are a little older, the second half of our lifetime. This is really, really new technology. And not only is this access possible, it is being used to a great extent in places like China, where facial recognition technology has increased. So they have a whole crowd of people, more people than are here right now, and they're walking through a busy square, and they've got squares over every face, and they're identifying the faces of the people who are coming for criminals that they're looking at. This is being used mainly against the Uyghur population, who are Muslims who are living in China and are under great oppression by the Chinese government. So we have got this really amazing scenario before us of this personage who will be able to say, you have to take this mark, and if you don't take this mark, you won't be able to buy food. And so there will be people, Christian people, people who believed in Jesus, who will look at some of these people, especially Jews, because Jews will be especially persecuted. You want to know what the Bible says? The Bible says that immediately, this is the end of Revelation chapter 12, immediately after the devil is cast down to the earth, the first thing he does is pursue Israel. The woman who gave birth to the child is Christ and the woman is Israel. He absolutely hates Israel. Why? Because God made promises to Israel, and if the devil can kill all of the Jews, he can keep God from being able to fulfill the promises that he made to Israel. So Israel is going to be especially persecuted. That's why here's a verse that's taken out of context a lot, folks. Oh, I can't get off script like this too much today, but let me just share this. Jesus taught after his tribulation teaching in Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, after talking about those times of tribulation, those days of tribulation, he says this, and then the Son of Man will come and there will be a judgment, and everyone, all the nations will come before him, and he will say, come, enter into my kingdom, all you who have become, all you for whom it has been prepared. And he says, because I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was in prison, you came to visit me. And then Jesus says, and then they will say, well, when did we do that? Like, when did we go visit you in prison or give you something? And then Jesus says, as much as you've done this, now watch this carefully. This is usually quoted out of context. As much as you, or as often as you have done this, to the least of these, my brothers, you have done it to me. He's talking about the Jews. During the tribulation, one of the signs of being truly saved is that you will reach out to help the Jewish people, because you'll be taking your life into your own hands by doing it. If there's a Jewish person in prison and you go to visit that person, you're putting your own life in. And they're going to say, when did we ever do this for you, Lord? As much as you've done this for the least of these, my brother. Remember, he's talking about those who have survived the tribulation. This is the judgment of the nations who've survived the tribulation. So there's a lot going on here. I think this tells us why there's this resurgence of anti-Semitism in our own day today. That you saw the bombing of the synagogue, 140 children in that synagogue school. Thank God none of them were killed. We're going to see more and more instances of anti-Semitism. Why? Because the devil absolutely hates them. And that hatred is going to be on steroids after Satan. As soon as he was cast to the earth, he pursued the woman. That's what this is all about. And God's going to preserve them supernaturally. Again, if you are interested in this type of thing, by all means, listen to the messages that are online. Okay, well, I veered off a little bit, so let me figure out where I am. All right, so this is amazing. This passage is amazing about not being able to buy and sell unless you have the mark of the beast. There are two important points we shouldn't miss here. Number one, we shouldn't miss John's emphasis on the access the Antichrist will have to the inhabitants of the earth. He will have access to all, great, small, rich, poor, free, and slave. And secondly, we shouldn't miss the emphasis on the control he will have over the inhabitants of the earth. The scripture tells us no one will be able to buy or sell unless he has the mark. Now, friends, up until our own generation, none of these things were even remotely possible. The idea that somebody could have such access and control over all the citizens of the world was up to now impossible to even comprehend. Nobody could possibly have possessed the ability to freeze somebody's assets and resources or restrict commerce in the way that the Antichrist is said to do during the tribulation period. But even I, an admitted Luddite, I am not a technology person at all, but I'm a virtual cashless citizen. My payroll is direct deposited. I usually carry no more than $5 in my wallet. Every purchase I make is on the credit card, and we pay the bill in full every month when it comes in. Now, this is certainly convenient. You want to buy something, you tap a card, right? But convenience comes at a cost. Every purchase I make and every place that I make that purchase is recorded and kept as a personal record, a permanent personal record. If it's at a gas station or a brick and mortar store, there's a timestamp on every transaction that will exist until Jesus comes back. Where I was, where I bought it, when I bought it, what I bought, how I paid for it. Furthermore, I was probably videotaped in the store doing it, and with recent advancements in AI face recognition technology, that information would be very helpful to a totalitarian government, like the Bible predicts. So, Big Brother, a la George Orwell, is not only watching you, he's filming you, he's tracking you, and recording much of what you do, and for some reason, compiling the records about it. Have I talked to you about robot insurance? Now, I'm a nobody. I'm just a schlub, right? But it does make you wonder what interest anyone would have in keeping a record of the fact that I bought a shovel at Ace Hardware on December 10th at 9:45 in the morning and paid for it with my MasterCard ending in 5467. Now, that's not my real MasterCard because I know you. The credit cards have been changed because of audience recognition. But convenience comes at a cost, and you know what that cost is? The loss of privacy. But everyone loves convenience. And mark it down, schlub that I am, if my very limited assets were suddenly frozen by the government, I would be in big trouble. How would I pay my bills? How would I keep my home? How would I buy food? It's an amazing thing, and I'm just a guy. This scenario was prophesied by a commercial fisherman 2,000 years ago. And as I said, up until 25 years ago, it was unimaginable how it could be fulfilled. So how might these ancient prophecies be realized by a soon coming Antichrist? Well, in a word, technology. In two words, artificial intelligence. I think that we all know that much of what we type into our computer is tracked. Have you heard of DuckDuckGo? So DuckDuckGo is an alternative web browser like Google Chrome or something like this. And they've got an ad running right now because DuckDuckGo says, switch to us because we don't track you. And in their ad, they're saying even in incognito mode, you're still being tracked by Google. In 2026, the illusion of privacy is just that, an illusion. We've seen court case after court case where a person's Google searches have been presented as evidence, which always kind of blows my mind. If you're going to kill somebody, don't Google how long does it take for chloroform to work. You know, I mean, these people deserve to get caught, let's face it, right? But we've seen court case after court case where somebody's Google searches have been presented as evidence. These things are being kept, right? So let me ask you a question. If your Google searches were made public, Christian, everyone within the hearing of my voice, would you be embarrassed? Would you be ruined? Could somebody blackmail you because of your Google searches? Nothing that we do is secret anymore, folks. Sin is never freedom. Christians need to understand this. Sin is slavery. We have to keep ourselves pure and we have to keep ourselves from deception because the devil is always laying traps for the people of God. And I think these things are going to be used to great advantage against God's people to discredit the testimony of God's people in the last days. We have to keep ourselves pure. Everyone that has this hope purifies themselves even as he is pure. Amen. The Bible is clear that when the Antichrist emerges, he will shut off access to finances to any and all who do not comply with this program. Now, money is difficult to trace, but digital transactions are not. They're very easy to trace. And I think we can all agree that everything in our very lifetime, friends, everything has changed. There are entire countries that have gone almost completely cashless. While no country to this point is 100% cashless, several are very close. Norway, Sweden, and believe it or not, even China. And so these ancient prophecies that we read about are, they seem fresher today. They seem more relevant today. They seem more, they just seem like they're so modern, even though they were written 2,000 years ago. They're more relevant today than the day that they were written. But like Al Jolson used to say, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because with AI, the losses of privacy and personal autonomy are about to soar into the stratosphere. How? I'm glad you asked. Do you remember in the first message in this series, we talked about how OpenAI has announced that they're launching digital pornography? That's how. This is a huge story in the tech world right now. I don't know if you've been following it, but let me fill you in if you have not. As we mentioned in that first sermon, Sam Altman, who is the CEO of OpenAI, recently announced that ChatGPT would be allowing, quote, erotica for verified adults, close quote, to start very soon. The original start date was December of last year. This new technology is more than just temptation, folks. This new technology is temptation personalized. AI erotica won't simply entertain sin, it will engineer it. Whatever perverse thing a person has in their mind, it will create for them, remember their preferences, and give it back to them in more and more seductive ways. The spiritual consequences of this thing, just like the spiritual consequences of pornography for our country, will be absolutely catastrophic. But be that as it may, we can all agree on one thing, folks. Children must be protected. Yes, we absolutely agree that they must. And that has opened up the perfect smokescreen to require more and more intrusive verification. This is the way the camel is getting his nose under the tent. Okay? And here's an article from BBC. This is from the end of last year, December of last year. It says this, users of ChatGPT must be 13 years old if they are under the age of 18. They must have a parent's permission to use it, according to OpenAI. This announcement from OpenAI is the latest in a series of measures from the world's leading tech firms in an effort to make online experiences safer for children. And we all like this. Many have come in as a result of new legislation, such as the Online Safety Act in the UK. This also includes age verification on Reddit, X, and porn websites. Meta, which operates Facebook and Instagram, said it would also be introducing more guardrails to its artificial intelligence chatbots. Now, I showed you some of the disastrous results of children having these chatbot companions in the first message in this series, right? Well, there are people who've taken notice and they said, well, here's what we need to do. We are going to need to verify who we are before we even use the internet. Now, we're going to talk about this for a minute. You want to access right now, if you want to access AI porn, you're going to have to upload your identity. And this doesn't mean just like, you know, somebody goes to a liquor store, they show a license. The guy looks at it, okay, you're old enough, right? Not like that. You'll have to upload your digital identity to a third-party organization that will store and keep that digital identity. Okay? Now, who can argue against this? Children must be protected, and they must be protected at all costs. But it turns out, as I said, there's a very high cost to things like this. And I think that it creates a perfect scenario for the biblically predicted events of the last days to be realized because of OpenAI's plan to produce AI-generated erotica. Advocates are demanding that the problem of child access be solved now. Now, when pornography was rolled out initially in the Wild West that we know of as the Internet or the World Wide Web, this was severely botched. Somehow, people thought that they could keep kids out of porn sites by asking them if they were 18. Now, I guess they didn't think that a kid that's going to go behind their parents' back to look at pornography might go as far as lying to a computer. But this was seriously botched. But this AI porn raises some very important security issues because the technology will have the capability of generating anything the depraved mind can ask it to. So while age verification is absolutely necessary. And why are we going to lose our privacy? Because of pornography. Like the idea of, hey, maybe the pornography is not a good idea. No, we have a right. First Amendment right. This is what the Founding Fathers meant when they said we had freedom of speech, right? So while it's absolutely necessary when technology deals with such dangerous and adult content, what troubles many is what getting there is going to cost by means of privacy. Once society accepts verification as the price of access, it normalizes a future in which one must prove his or her identity, not only to view content, but to exist at all on the internet. Now listen, we've already been primed for this, folks. How many remember COVID? How many remember you can't walk into a restaurant unless you've got your identification card that shows that you have been vaccinated? And how many remember the kickback people got who were anti-vaxxers, who didn't want to take an untried vaccine into their body, or were trying to listen to alternative doctors who were saying this is dangerous? How many remember the kickback? They were marginalized. They were seen as cave people. They're hurting society. That's nothing compared to what's going to happen with this Mark of the Beast thing. So today, it's verified adults. Tomorrow, it could be verified citizens or verified beliefs. Now you say, wait a minute. They're going to start identifying you by what you believe. That's exactly what they do in China. To this very day, there are 1 billion people that live under that kind of totalitarian surveillance. This is not theoretical. This is happening in China. Listen to the testimonies of the underground church in China. So, one day in America, and I think it will be, it could be verified beliefs. This moves the edges closer to a fully integrated internet where access is controlled by a global digital ID framework. And we've seen some pretty, what will people, imagine if there was a law tomorrow that said, listen, you can keep using the internet just like you use it, but if you want to use it, you do have to identify yourself. You have to identify yourself as somebody who is of a certain age. Now you have free access. You can look at all this stuff. But if your digital ID says that you're 13 years old, well, now you're restricted, right? And it sounds so reasonable. So reasonable. We want to protect kids. Okay, listen, I got nothing to hide. So I am going to upload my digital information. And then all of a sudden, that is being kept by a third-party group that is watching over all of these things. I'm going to get to this in just a moment, but if you think that there aren't going to be data leaks, you're just not watching the news. We've seen some pretty significant changes even in this country recently. A handful of U.S. states now have various requirements to verify your age before you can create a social media account. So you want to get on Facebook? Well, you have to verify your age. Not just say, I agree that I am over 13, but you have to prove that you're over the age of 13. Age verification laws sound straightforward and reasonable at first blush to protect young people online by making them prove their age. But in reality, these mandates are forcing users into two very flawed systems, mandatory ID checks and biometric scans. While these laws are passed with the intention of protecting children from harm, the truth is they're harming both adults and children more, because these records that are made of their identity, they're young. This is going to follow them through their entire life. While these laws are passed for this reason, for protecting children, it's harming both children and adults. Accessing porn is one thing, but this is also being employed with respect to accessing non-sexual information, which is deemed inappropriate for children. So Reddit, which is, you know, all over the place, right? And a Facebook. You can find all kinds of inappropriate stuff on Facebook. So this is where the verification is coming in. Well, you can't just say, so this is a kid and they've got to verify their age. If it's an adult and that's the law, they'll have to verify their age, even if they're 62 years old. They're going to have to verify that they are older than the amount. And this is where it gets very, very thorny. Because what happens when the government decides that children need to be protected, not from sexual contact, but political content that it deems harmful? Anybody remember COVID? Anybody remember if anybody posted anything that went against the government's position, it was censored? Come on, folks. We've done this. We've already been there. We've got the T-shirts. So what happens when the government says, okay, we've got to protect children from harmful information that's political or religious? There are religious things that kids should not be able to gain access to. You say this is impossible. This will never happen. I'm saying to you that this is not theoretical. This is the real life, everyday world of more than a billion people in China today. I'm going to show it to you as we continue. I showed you in one of our early messages. So, and who decides? Like, who decides what content is harmful? Who does that? Well, the government's going to do that, right? Who decides what religious ideas are harmful? There is a legitimate church, according to the Chinese government, the Chinese National Church. Of course, it's not the real Christian church. The real Christian church is underground. They won't subscribe to any of those things that the Chinese government makes them subscribe to. So these are forbidden subjects in China. You can't access information about Christianity in China without putting yourself in real danger. Who's going to decide what is legitimate or harmful and not harmful? I showed you in one of our earlier messages how the University of Sheffield in the UK has put a trigger warning on the Gospels because of what it calls sexual violence and violence. We still can't figure out what they're talking about. But, you know, it opened up a storm of people coming forward and saying, this is so ridiculous. Like, and they said, no, there's a lot of violence in the Gospels, and therefore we need to put a trigger warning on it for our students. All of the Christian organizations did reports on this, CBN, and they all reported on this because it was so scary to think that a public institution can say, hey, be careful if you're going to read that Bible thing. So what happens when the government's position goes against the principles that are taught in the Word of God? I don't know. Ask Canada. If I'm a pastor in Canada and I decide that I'm going to teach through the book of Romans verse by verse, I won't get past Romans chapter 1 before I'm in danger of being arrested. Because to call certain lifestyles in Canada sinful is hate speech. Those are our neighbors to the north. That's a Western country. I'm going to show you some things in just a few minutes here. All of this information that is uploaded, once it is recorded, can be instantly retrieved. And 20 years from now, it can be retrieved just as though it were put up there today. And all of it, of course, is going to be managed by AI, which never gets tired. But if the country wants AI porn, this is the price they're going to have to pay. Requiring users to upload sensitive personal information like government-issued IDs or biometric data to verify their age creates serious privacy and security risks. Under these laws, users would not just momentarily display their ID, like I mentioned, like going into a liquor store or something like that to validate age. These things would be uploaded to third-party companies, which brings up major concerns about how this information would be stored and kept. Once uploaded, this personal information could be exposed, mishandled, or even breached, as we've seen numerous times in past data hacks. Some of the largest age verification companies in the world have had their sites hacked, and they've experienced high-profile data breaches exposing users' most sensitive information for months and even years. These are Social Security numbers. You can sell somebody's house if you have the right information. Children are most at risk, like I said, because that information is going to would follow them for the rest of their life. Once this door opens, the same system that was designed to keep children out of erotic content could easily be used to silence dissent, monitor speech, and even classify faith. Now you say, wow, that is really out there. But it's happening right now. Like I said, China is, that should give us all pause. The amazing thing is 2,000 years ago, God said this is exactly the way it's going to be. The person who wrote it, John, who was a genius, I've spent most of my ministry exegeting John's works. I mean, the Gospel of John, the Book of Revelation, he has been a major source of my study, major interest for me, Johannine studies. And I will tell you that John could not have had a clue about what he was writing. This is so unbelievable that until the second half of my life, we couldn't really understand what was happening. Now, many people have pointed out privacy concerns, many of them Christian writers. Those designing the pornographic technology, the AI pornographic technology, are talking about, quote, extreme guidelines that will be needed to be put in place before this stuff can be accessed. The most frequent suggestion is a verified internet ID or a digital passport. Now, we had the health passport during COVID, right? You had to have that card with you. You couldn't go to a concert. We have a venue that Mary and I like next to our house. It's a very, very small place, and people come and they play acoustic music. If you did not have one of those cards, you could not go to a show there during COVID. So we've already experienced this. And the CEO of OpenAI has already said that people are going to have to verify their identity so that children can be protected. Now, AI, of course, is going to be used to organize all of this data. Proponents are promising rock-solid data protection. But is there anybody with 2 microns of brain matter that would argue that this stuff is not going to be breached? I mean, the data breaches are absolutely ridiculous. This is, Rhode Island State Attorney Peter Narana lists 43 major data breaches last year. This is his website. This is last year in Rhode Island. 43 major data breaches. There's one that's going on right now. It's been in the news all last week. And they're saying, don't worry, you know, we have this figured out now. And if you upload this information, it's never going to get out to anyone. Let me take you back a few years. I found this story so fascinating. This was back in 2015. There was a company back then called Ashley Madison. Do you remember them? They were a dating website for married people that wanted to cheat on their spouse. Life is short. Have an affair. So they said, come on, join us. We're going to connect you with other married people that want to cheat on their spouse. And we promise nobody will ever find out about it. And they didn't until they did. According to their website, according to their FAQs, it was 100% discreet. You could create a secure membership. In the FAQ section, it also promised that users would never have to compromise, quote, their safety, their privacy, or their security, close quote, and their identities would never be revealed. And then the website was hacked. And a group of pirates released the names of all of the people who had created accounts with the website. Do you know what happened? Marriages were destroyed that, let's face it, were already in trouble to start with, right? If they're doing this. But marriages were destroyed, people were fired from high-profile jobs, and a number of people took their lives. There were suicides attached to people who, once their name was exposed, they killed themselves because of the shame. This reminds me of something 3,500 years ago that was written in the Word of God. It's a promise that God gave through Moses. Here's what he said. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, there's two amazing truths that are inherent in this verse. The first is that our sin is never a secret. The Bible tells us that if nobody else knows about it, God certainly knows about it. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes to whom we must give account. So here's the thing. If you truly believe in God, then you believe that God is looking. So your sin is never a secret affair. And second truth that's in here is that your sin will discover you. You can't run from the consequences of sin because sin carries within itself the power to pay back the sinner. It's an amazing thing. Well, okay. How many users of the Ashley Madison website were exposed? Well, this little website that looked for ways to connect married people with other married people to cheat on their spouse had, are you ready for it? Are you sitting down? 40 million users. 40 million. And you know what people could do? They could go on the internet and they could just search alphabetically all of the names of the people and the city and state that they lived in. But but don't worry. If you upload your personal information to this website, it's rock solid. It will never be used in any kind of inappropriate way. Now listen, I only look stupid. You could never get me to believe that in a million years. If there's a way to encrypt it, there's a way to unencrypt it. So, nobody believes that. And of course, it's more dangerous even than this, because right now AI is being used to foster deception on a large scale to identify those who walk contrary to the world's governments. I'm going to talk about China just for a moment here so we can understand this. I'm going to be reading some things from an article called How AI is Shaping the World the Bible Warned About. You can get the notes, and we'll send them to you, or they will be posted online this week. And all of this is footnoted, so you can go and you can look at these articles yourself if you're interested. But let me read you a couple of things. Technology, especially artificial intelligence and digital surveillance, proves the mechanism to enforce conformity. In the past, totalitarian regimes relied on human enforcements or human informants. I'm sorry, human informants, secret police, and brute force to control populations. But emerging AI-driven algorithmic control systems promise to be far more efficient and persuasive. The digital net over humanity that could fulfill the vision of Revelation 13's beast system like never before. The rise of generative AI, like advanced chatbots, introduces a new frontier of human control. On one hand, these AIs can flood the internet with content, even convincing deep fake news or propaganda that makes it difficult to discern truth. In other words, there's so much stuff out there, you just don't know what's true. How many remember during the Brown University shootings when they were looking for the person? The chief of police in Providence was coming on every night saying, please stop posting the AI videos. It's not helpful. They were posting videos of the person who was supposed to be the shooter. They were all made up. So the truth is being blurred constantly. He goes on. On the other hand, and perhaps more insidiously, the major AI systems come with built-in guardrails that filter out what information or answers they will provide. Ostensibly meant to prevent harm, these guardrails can end up hiding information, enforcing conformity, or inserting bias in a way that users cannot see. In other words, you're in the middle of a pandemic, and the government has decided to censor certain ideas about vaccines and things, and so you do a Google search and the information just never appears in the Google search. This is a kind of censorship, is what it's saying. Goes on to say this, AI doesn't get tired. It can monitor billions of posts and communications, and it can be tuned to filter out dissent automatically. Time magazine recently bluntly titled an article, The Future of Censorship is AI Generated. Surveillance technology such as facial recognition cameras, GPS tracking, data mining, have matured to the point that nearly everything about our lives can be monitored. When combined with AI analytics, this data can be used to micromanage an entire population. The most concrete prototype of this, listen to this carefully. The most concrete prototype of this is China's social credit system. Do you know about this? Their individual social credit system? Every citizen of China has a score, a social credit score. If they get in line with the government's position, well, they can get loans, they can travel on buses, they can travel on trains, they can travel on airplanes. If they have a low credit score, they can't buy a ticket to get on a train and go anywhere. You behave or else you lose privileges. You want to buy something? You want to get a loan for something for you and your family? If you have a low credit score, no, you're not going to prosper under this government, if you're not in conformity. Let me get back to my reading here. The most concrete prototype of this is China's social credit system. In China, the government gathers data on citizens' financial, social, and legal behavior. Based on this, each citizen can be given a social credit score. Those with low scores, whether due to actual crimes or simply behaviors that are deemed undesirable, like criticizing the government, or even trivial infractions like jaywalking or not sorting their recycling, they can face restrictions in everyday life. China has already banned millions of discredited people from buying train tickets or plane tickets due to social... Listen, what I'm saying is the kind of technology that the Bible says will be in the hands of the Antichrist is already being used by the Chinese government against the Chinese people. This is not science fiction. This is the news. A government slogan summarizing this program says, once discredited, limited everywhere. This is strikingly close to Revelation's wording of the beast's mark. No one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark. In China's system, if you're on the blacklist, you literally cannot purchase travel tickets. You're barred from certain jobs. You're denied loans, etc. By even 2018, in 1 year alone, would-be travelers were blocked 17.5 million times from flights and 5.5 million times from trains due to social credit offenses. Offenses can range from unpaid taxes to spreading false information, which could be used by any narrative state with information that it doesn't like. The Chinese government openly says its aim is to allow trustworthy people to roam everywhere under heaven while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step. That sounds a lot like, unless you have the mark, you cannot buy or sell. It uses big data and technology to create an Orwellian stage of mass surveillance and control. It goes on to say, this is not distant dystopian future. This is the present reality for more than a billion people. And Western nations have analogous tools ready, if not already, being quietly used. Now listen to this next part. Because that's China. And we say, well, China, we get China. China's China. But Western countries, no, we value freedom. Right? Okay, freedom. We want our AI porn. Right? Freedom. Consider this, though. In 2022, during the trucker convoy protest that took place in Canada, the Canadian government took the extraordinary step of, watch this, freezing the bank accounts of protesters and even some who donated to them. Without due process, people were debanked overnight for being associated with a political protest that the government did not like. The Canadian official touted that banks could now freeze accounts without a court order as a part of the Emergencies Act. The Cato Institute noted that freezing bank accounts, a strategy once limited only to authoritarian regimes, had now been used in a free democracy. Quote, bringing targets to their knees through economic incapacitation without trial, close quote. It was a wake-up call. Governments, even in the West, can amass sweeping powers quickly and stop people right in their tracks. Does that cause you to shake? This is the Prime Minister of Canada. You're going to stop trucking? You're going to engage in a protest that our government doesn't like? These are the same people that will arrest pastors for speaking about gender issues and the biblical response to it. Already, algorithms decide what voices are heard. Imagine a future where AI labels sermons about Christ as hate speech and blocks them universally. The ground is being laid for a world in which a central brain, AI, could manage the allegiance of the masses. People are being conditioned to accept this. We trade our privacy for convenience all the time. We tolerate surveillance for the promise of security, and we embrace digital currencies for their efficiency. It's the end of the article. Now, as if all this wasn't enough, I shuddered to see this. This was a recent poll that was done and found that, I'm quoting, 41% of young adults from the age of 18 to 39 say that they would support giving advanced AI systems authority over government policymaking. Why? Oh, well, they're objective. Furthermore, 36% would let AI regulate individual rights, including speech and religious practices, while 35% would allow AI to control the world's largest militaries, quote, to reduce war deaths. In other words, a significant portion of the next generation is willing to surrender human judgment and perhaps human freedom to algorithms. I want you to listen to the news, and I want you to listen for these catchphrases. Identity verification. It's huge right now. It's being discussed in Congress right now. How are we going to keep kids safe from this insidious pornography that's about to be unleashed in our country? It's for sin. It's to give us a way to get the sin that we want. I'm closing. But we're not done yet. I love John Lennox. John Lennox is amazing. He is a genius. He's a mathematician. He's got 3 earned doctorate degrees. Cambridge, Oxford, you name it, Cardiff. Genius. He also happens to be a very, very committed Christian. And as he enters the twilight of his life, he's been thinking a lot about AI, the ramifications of AI, and the book of Revelation. He's just written a very intriguing book. It's costly, but it's very intriguing about AI and the book of Revelation. Now, he's also a really great speaker. He's engaged with some of the most brilliant atheists in debates. And it's always been very entertaining to watch him take them. I'm talking about Richard Dawkins and the late Christopher Hutchins, these guys. You know, God is not good and God is not great was the name of his book, right? But he's a very clever communicator. I want to play you a couple of clips here. I had to edit it out. I edited it down as much as I could, okay, from a seminar that Dr. John Lennox was at. This is the Revelation book I was just telling you about. And dealing with the question of whether or not we can live with AI. Can we live with AI? And some of his conclusions, I think, are very profound. Some of his quotations, especially the one from Stephen Hawking, are profound. And also his final conclusion are profound. We're going to do this. I'm going to come back with a couple of quick takeaways, and we're going to be done. Okay, let's watch this.
The narrow AI we live with which we're very familiar, digital assistants, online shopping, medicine, and I might just point out it's just been announced by Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI. He's going to transform American Medicare by introducing personal chatbots, which sounds a very interesting potential for the future. Autonomous vehicles, and also a use of AI and facial recognition to pick out criminals from a crowd. All of these things we take upon ourselves voluntarily, but there are people who are forced to live with AI because the same facial recognition that's used for picking out criminals in a crowd is being used to suppress minorities, in particular the minority Muslim population of Uyghurs in Xinjiang in northwest China. And that intensive surveillance is intrusive to a colossal extent and is being exported all over China and possibly eventually to the West. So if we ask the question, can we live with AI, you will find a whole palette of scenarios, all of them coming from highly intelligent people. So here's a sample. Stephen Hawking, the late brilliant genius from Cambridge. The real risk with AI isn't malice, but competence. A super intelligent AI will be extremely good at accomplishing its goals, and if those goals aren't aligned with ours, we're in trouble. So what's to be done? Here's Sam Altman again of OpenAI. Regulation will be critical and will take time to figure out. Although current generation AI tools aren't very scary, I think we are not that far away from potentially scary ones. Another brilliant scientist, a brilliant physicist who's involved in this, raises this question. Are we really in an unavoidable battle with an AI monster to stay alive? Listen to much of the debate, and you could be forgiven for thinking so. Physics professor at MIT, I think, and he has written a book called Life 3.0. And it's really a fascinating book because what he does is project into the future the possible scenarios if we are to develop AGI. But the one he spends most time on, and it fascinated me when I read it, is the so-called Omega Project, in which a leader takes over the entire world so that there is a global government, an idea that has been suggested by many leaders in the past and is the aspiration of many leaders in the current world. This great controlling power gets a hold of the economy of the world, and it does it this way. With the excuse of fighting crime and terrorism and rescuing people suffering medical emergencies, everybody could be required to wear a security bracelet that combines the functionality of an Apple Watch with continuous uploading of position, health, status, and conversations overheard. Unauthorized attempts to remove or disable it would cause it to inject a lethal toxin into the forearm. Now, when I read that, it reminded me of a much more ancient scenario that occurs, believe it or not, in the book of Revelation, because it also talks about a future world government. And you know, my argument is very simple. If we're going to take seriously the kind of thing that people like Max Tegmark are saying about the future, I say, well, look, before you reject it, listen carefully to what the book of Revelation and the biblical worldview has to say. It causes all to be marked on the right hand so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark that is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Beware of taking all of that simply as symbols, because as C.S. Lewis pointed out long ago, symbols are used to represent realities. And the reality that stands behind this, I reckon, is explicitly in plain text told us in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul writes this, "For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God." Now, Revelation is explicit that the number of the beast is the number of a human being. That is the terrifying thing about it. And here is Paul in plain text, no symbolism, telling us that there will arise a leader, a man of lawlessness, that is spiritual lawlessness. He opposes everything to do with God. He will be, of course, an extreme totalitarian dictator and allows himself to be worshipped. Well, think and put those things together. AI in the future, creating a system of economic control that is individualized by a bracelet that can kill you. This is as near to that as it's possible to get. Now, it seems to me we need to do a lot more thinking around this kind of thing. It is so close to what some of the best thinkers on the planet are projecting for AGI. So now is the time to drop our fear of investigating the book of Revelation and having a serious look at what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, this sounds grim. There's no question about it. Can we live with it? Well, it's clear that some people will have to live with it. But that's not the end of the story. It is the end of the Omega Prometheus story, but the end of the biblical story is something much, much bigger and better. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and deception. I mentioned earlier deep fakes and deception. The Lord warned his disciples 20 centuries ago that as we come nearer to his return, the biggest thing to watch out for is deceit. And it's that that's emphasized massively in the texts in Thessalonians and in the book of Revelation. Now, where does that leave us? Well, it leaves all of us to make a choice. When people talk to me about their hope for AI, solving the problem of human death, which is one of the main propositions, and transforming the nature of human happiness, I smile and say, "You're too late." They say, "What do you mean? We haven't even got there yet." Oh, I say, "You're far too late." How's that? Because the problem of human death was solved 20 centuries ago when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And secondly, you're hoping to upload your brains onto silicon or something else so that you're going to have eternal life. Oh, there's something infinitely better than that, which I call the divine upgrade. First stage of it is, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And the second stage, promised to those who receive him, is that the trumpet will sound, that the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. This mortal body must put on immortality. And no matter what stage AI gets to, in your lifetime, or your children's lifetime, or your grandchildren's lifetime or not, let's lift up our heads as Christians and reaffirm our faith that this world that threw out God's Son when he visited 20 centuries ago has not heard the last of him. And surely he that shall come will come and will receive all who trusted him to himself. Thank you very much.
Let me just give you a couple of quick takeaways. We're ending the series here. I'm going to make these very quick. Number one, takeaways from this entire series, Deception in the Last Days. Number one, we need to purify ourselves. As believers, we need to purify ourselves. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children right now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Number two, we need to stay on mission. Our neighbors depend upon it. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Wherever God has set you in your life, there are people around you that will have to go through this terrible time unless they come to know Jesus. So we have to stay on mission. Amen. Number three, and very importantly, we need to understand that AI is not neutral. Everything that is a part of the cosmic system, there's a spirit behind. And there is a spirit behind AI, and that spirit is the prince of the power of the air. Case in point, Adam Rain, that 16-year-old boy that was coached to take his own life systematically by his AI bot neutral companion. There is a spirit behind this stuff. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 says this. We know two things. He says, we know two things. Ready for it? Number one, he says, we know that we are from God. Say amen. Amen. We know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Friends, we have to live like both of those things are true. Next, pastors. This is a word to pastors who may be hearing my voice at this moment. Shepherds of God's people, we have to stop being silent about these things. It is an open scandal in heaven that God's people are being entertained into imbecility and are not being prepared for the days that are ahead. We have a responsibility to shepherd the people of God. Next, believers need to wake up and get serious about spiritual warfare. God commands us to put on the whole armor of God, not so that we can deal with that knucklehead we work with, but so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil and take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This is Ephesians chapter 6, 11 and 13. Now, why does God say this to us? Why did he warn us of these things through Paul? Because God sees the invisible realities that we don't see. God sees the snares that are being laid for us that will be effective if we don't become aware really fast that there is something happening around us that is other than natural. You have an enemy, and he hates your guts. That's what the Bible says, and we need to believe it. And finally, we need to walk into the upcoming days with our eyes wide open, our prophetic eyes wide open. Jesus rebuked those who claimed to know God in his own day, saying, when it's evening, you say it's going to be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. And then Jesus criticized them with these words. He said, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." We have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the book of Revelation. It reads chronologically. It's been unfolded before us. The word apocalypse, the apocalypse to Jesus Christ, the unveiling, the revelation of Jesus Christ, means that God is unveiling these things. They're meant to be understood. They're not cryptic to the point where we cannot understand them. So we need to be aware of the fact that the days that we're living in are the realization of prophetic realities. John, Jesus, and Paul all rhyme with respect to these things and the emergence of the coming Antichrist. Now, I hope that this has been helpful to you, this series. If it has not been, and if you hate studying prophecy, be of good cheer. We're going to be on something completely different next time.